Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. Welcome and greetings again to you, our listening audience, and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, where we strive to tell it just like it is, even when it hurts my feelings. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're honored tonight to have a special guest on with us, young brother out of Peoria, Illinois. You're going to hear more from him, though. Tonight, we're talking from the topic, how to manage challenges for young fathers of urban America. All right? Now, some 153 years removed from the physical links of slavery in America, far too many young people find themselves captured in a new type of bondage. Unfortunately, those that are most affected are blind to the root cause of their entrapment, the unconscious detachment from their history, their heritage, the reality that they face today, and a general cultural affinity serves as the culprits for what we see expressed in the forms of self-destruction and the loss of a will to do better. Always just trying to survive and never living. Tonight we're going to have Lewis Brown from Peoria, Illinois. He's called in before, and we promised to have him to kind of lead us in some discussion because he represents a generation in my lecture series that I have identified as the lecturer and researcher as the fifth generation removed from slavery since 1865, and it is his generation that are facing certain challenges today. So if you're new to the show, let me just say that this is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, and this is our attempt to reach out to a national audience to address a serious issue prevalent in urban America. Let me apologize ahead of time also that I think I left my glasses in the car, so I don't have them with me, but we're going to make do tonight, and so you all bear with us a little bit here. So we're going to have Brother Lewis come on in just a little bit. We're going to get through our monologue, which gives us some framework and context for what we're talking about. Off air, Mr. Brown and I discussed the lecture series some, and I share with him that over the last 15 years, my research has resulted in 90-plus case studies that date back to 1865, when the 13th Amendment was ratified by 36 states and became law. All right? But we look at circumstances that have faced generations of Afro, Negro, Black, colored African American people, but specifically males, as they struggle to be heads of their household, to be responsible, and things of that nature. All right? So that's what we're going to be really talking about. The number to call us here live, if you're following us on live stream, you can render your comments on the Facebook app, and we'll be able to share that in our dialogue. But you can call the number here live at the studio, 657-383-0944. Again, that is 657-383-0944. I see we have callers in queue already. We'll get right with you in just a little bit, and I hope Pastor Waller will be able to join us tonight as well. And we have another gentleman who is experienced, and I believe he can offer some guidance here. And so if you all will bear with us just for a few minutes here, let me get through this monologue, and then we'll bring our guest right on in here. Man, I'm excited. All right, so again, we're talking from the topic, how to manage challenges for young fathers of urban America. And you may have noticed during the month of June, we've been talking from a fatherhood theme, okay? And there are some young guys who's helped bring children in the world. They may not know how to be a father. That's okay. The good news is there's information. They may struggle in their efforts to be fathers. That's okay. The good news is that we are here, and that's what this platform is really designed to do, to offer hope, information, and guidance. All right. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and the first verse says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." We gave attention to the text. What we might draw from it is that there is an admonishment to think about what we do when we are young. All right? In relationship to what opportunities God has given us with our strength. Now, what I want to do now is to, and I'm speaking from my lecture series, I want to go over some different areas that classify and identify particularly Negro, Black, colored African American people, so that we can understand the pressures socially, economically, politically, that this generation we are discussing tonight, this fifth generation removed from slavery, are facing. All right, so we're going to talk about the population distribution. We're going to talk from the perspective of class status and the value for family as a principal issue, as well as the mentality and the tendency to be violent, to fight, kill, destroy, and who it is they train that on. Talk about expressions of self-determination, okay? And then lastly, what is their political outlook, all right? So briefly, let me go through this, and then we're going to just hit maybe one or two cases that Brother Brown will talk to us about that have happened in his lifetime. See, we can talk about what happened when we were growing up, but we really want him to speak about what he's been going through with us, all right? So population distribution. Today, the subgroup in America known as the African American today, that's what many people refer to themselves as, and we commonly deal with that in the workforce and things of that nature, is about 13.2%, or 41,729,006. Now, since the 13th estimate, the census is coming in 2020, but the estimate is that it may be a little bit more than that now, okay? But in 1985, 30 years prior to that point, we were only somewhere around 11.8% of the population. So there has been an increase or growth over the last 30 years or one decade, or one, I'm sorry, not a decade, but one generation is what we're speaking of. All right? Now, let's talk about the class status and family. People of the United States that are previously called Negro once, that we would call colored, black, and Afro-American with the Fisk and the Afros and what have you. But today, many, as I said earlier, recognize the majority population, a majority of them, as African-American. Given the fact that this social identification implies that they have dual citizenship in an African country or nation as well as in America. We know about the American citizenship. And oddly enough, there's a brother that may be joining us tonight. He brought that question up when he saw my flag. We'll get into that as well. All right? But the problem is many of them never been from left America and ever been to an African continent, the African continent, an African nation or area or land. So it causes some confusion there. Are we really African American? We'll get into it. The mentality of this subgroup as related to violence, and of course, unfortunately, we see this. Collectively, this present generation of African American males express anxiousness, aggressiveness, and paranoia in their social environment. Those considered most at risk, as some would say, see their future as being at very best mysterious. They're not sure if they'll live to see 21, 35, 50 years old. Okay? And there is apparent alienation within the workforce itself in educational pursuits, and even pursuing what's called the American dream. Many of them respond to social conflicts, threats, and concerns with violence. Okay? Tragically, the violence that is portrayed is against people that look like them, that come from their same social experience and background. That's the sad part about it. Typically, black-on-black crime is the expression of the anger and this mindset that we see. Now, let me talk about expressions of self-determination, the drive to be, to do, and to express oneself. There's a general fear of social defeat. If I tried, if I really got out there and put my best foot forward, somebody won't let me succeed. I would fall. So I will hide behind the church. I will hide behind Big Mama, my girlfriend, my baby's mama, or anybody else that can keep me from having to get out there and do for myself, because somebody's trying to set me up and they won't let me do my thing. Okay? So there is a lack of expression of self-improvement and pride in their own heritage and their own ability, their own strengths. The future of this American subgroup as a whole is questionable, but yet there is hope. That's why we're talking tonight about how to manage these challenges that they face. Now, politically, you ask, well, what do they do politically? Do they use their political muscle, their strength, their power? We see other groups doing so, right? Well, watch this. For the vast majority of African-American males, this generation, the tendency is they are not interested at all. Here's the notion. They're going to do what they want to, and I don't care. America is my enemy. Okay, I don't have no respect, no regard for it. Consequently, they tend not to participate in the electoral process that allows them to have say in who represents them in government. they fail to understand that if you are a citizen, and by virtue that you were born here, you are of America, you are a member, according to Black's Law Dictionary, of a political community. And the only way your voice can be heard is to participate in the political process of your community. Now, you may not be able to control what happened in Washington, D.C., but you can do a whole lot of what's going on in your state and in your local government, all right? They tend to be persuaded to vote Democrat as opposed to anything else. We're seeing an interesting dynamic now where more people are independent or some of them even becoming conservative in their views. Now, let me just for a second look at a couple of case studies, as I promised Brother Brown I would. Brother Brown knows perhaps about Trayvon Martin, what happened with Trayvon Martin in 2014. You know about what happened to Brown, right, in Ferguson, Missouri. You know that there have been other cases where young men have found themselves victim to circumstances in the street involving police and engaging with law enforcement that makes them feel like, you know what, we can't win, and we might as well always be on the ready to fight. Even an older gentleman at the age of 43 years old, Eric Garner, as old as he was, standing out selling Lucy's in Staten Island, New York, lost his life tragically. Now, when we really look at it and understand the driving forces of it, now, I'm only speaking within the last 30 years now. If you've been living, as Brother Brown has, this is about his age, you know that these are issues that are on young cats' minds now, which makes them wonder, am I next? Will I survive? No job, no education, no voice, and no hope. What do we do? You understand what I'm saying? In 2014, young brother in Cleveland, Ohio, Tamir Rice, sadly is out with a gun. Why does he have a gun on the street? Because that's what has become commonly known as the greatest hope for many young brothers, is to pack a pistol, sell a dope, and cover their back with their pistol. They have a greater faith in their pistol than they do in God. The text said, remember the Creator in the days of their youth. You understand? So they have a greater memory of their 9mm or their Glock, AK-47, than they do God. That's yet hope. That's yet hope. That's yet hope. Lastly, what I want to do now is to have you hear this brother. Interestingly enough, Kendrick Lamar, I kind of cleaned this up a little bit because he can be a little vulgar, but there's an interesting point that he makes in some of his songs. This one in particular is entitled All Right. Hear ye him.
My diligence is only meant to write your eulogy.
Dr. Reuben Docker, we go straight to the phone lines and introduce our guest for tonight, Mr. Lewis Brown out of Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to Talk Straight, my brother. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. How you doing, Mr. Reuben?
Good, 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 good. Thank you for spending your time with us tonight. We appreciate you. Give me a second. Let's do roll call here. 1098, what do you say, man?
All right. Listening.
All right, all right. Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelist. Good evening, sir. How are you this evening?
Doing all right. How you doing, Pastor Godfrey?
I'm going to need you to stand by, Pastor, because I promise Brother Brown that he can pick us for whatever, and I know Outcast don't mind sharing his experience, and we want to be able to answer this brother's questions honestly tonight. Don't sugarcoat it. And I also have on Facebook Live Brother Donald Richardson. He's been sharing some comments and everything, and hopefully he'll call us. Anyone can call us here, 657-383-0944. We welcome your question, your comments. We ask that you keep it close to our topic tonight, which is how to manage the challenges facing young fathers in urban America. But before we move back to our guests, let me say hello to 8112. Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much, Pastor. How's everyone?
Yes, ma'am. Good, 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 good. Pastor, just hello to you.
Yes, how you doing?
Right.
Okay.
8112, I trust you've been staying beautiful.
I'm trying. I work hard sometimes.
Don't fool me now. Don't fool me.
Sure, as always.
All right, let me go
doing?
To my guest here, Brother Brown, Brother Lewis Brown. Go ahead and take a few minutes to tell us what you want us to know about you and kind of lead our discussion. You heard my monologue. What do you agree or disagree with there?
I actually, in totality, agree with everything you said. But to play back on the whole Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown situation,
mm-hmm.
like, I mean, my family itself experienced police brutality in 2010. Okay. My brother was murdered by the police. We were involved in a lawsuit. We settled, not to dig into the situation, but he was murdered. It was labeled a murder. The medical examiners, all of them, did that. So I went through that personally, physically, and emotionally. I mean, I still suffer from depression to this day from it. You know what I mean? And people throw labels on that. Like, it's loose. You can see they got the commercials on TV these days where, oh, a pill is going to fix your problem, but you might experience death if you're not this or you're not that. So, I mean, it's not even just a black thing or a white thing. I mean, in its totality, you got to take the effects of America whole.
I see. I see. Okay. Well, so tell us a little bit about your experience personally. I know when we were talking on air the other day, you were sharing with us that a lot of your frustrations are what you're seeing today as a young man in this generation. And where are you in terms of coping with those things and being able to overcome them and keep your head clear and not get clouded by anger and frustration?
It's exactly what you just said. Not falling to the pressures of the world. Because if you give in, you gave up, and that means it's over for you. What does that do for the next? That won't help my younger brother. That won't help my young nephew, and that won't help my young son become a man that I need them to be, even in my absence. Even if I was to fall in some shape, fashion, or form, it won't be that I gave up trying.
Yeah. Okay. Pastor Waller, any comment there or anything you want to say there?
Yeah, I want to thank the young brother for coming in and sitting in with us on this night. Very encouraging from what I'm hearing him saying. And he have a right to be somewhat distracted because of what took place and make him want to become more of a man, stand up and to lead by example, which what we need is more good examples anyway. And so
absolutely.
For him to be on is an opportunity for him to increase in his desire to apply what it is that he's talking about. Because if we do give up, that means that the next generation have a chance at all. And so I admire what you're saying, brother, and we need more brothers like yourself to be able to make a stand, because you can't be treated wrong for your rights and continue to allow that to take place as if your rights is not valuable today. And once
thank you,
we
sir.
Get
I appreciate place, everything you said.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, nothing
but just keep the faith, keep standing firm, and things will fall in the right order as a result of that. There's a thing called practice what you preach. So that means that
you realize what took place, and it did bother you, and it had a right to bother you because things like that bothered me, and it takes me further back how much we've dealt with. And sometimes you have to use the word especially, you know, and no, it's not about the ethnic group of people, but especially for us, man, as a black man, woman, girl.
We have lost so much. We've already lost so much.
You know, we
have to be honest. 152 years as case study if it wasn't oppression for 152 years, but it goes back to a 400 and plus year gap. And then it goes back to what's happening now in 2018. It's the disconnect because now it's almost to the point where they want to live in this rainbow world where we all supposed to melt. It's supposed to be a melting pot. You're supposed to have forgotten and got over. And but the systematic failure is still there. And that's what I was making my point about last time because they're not. They did nothing to help us bridge that gap outside of promises. They made a lot of promises, and then the world leaders that made those promises were assassinated on live TV. So it shows you that not only are we not going to fulfill those promises, not only is America not going to be great again until Donald Trump says so in the future, but we're going to lock up all your young black males. We're going to separate the fathers. If the fathers are in the home, we're going to take them out the home because one thing they don't need is for these two people to be together if they gain government assistance because they wouldn't need it all the way. Like, are you serious? How can we ever
support somebody? Hey, Bro Brown, you said something heavy there. Stay right there. I want Outkast. Outkast is a brother who has overcome many obstacles in the system as well. He has a bulk of experience to share with you. You want to comment there, Outkast, a little bit? You hear what Brown is saying. I think he's on point. You want to comment there?
Yes, I did, and I totally disagree with what he's saying. White man can't keep you out your home. The only someone can keep you out your home is you and your companion. See, again, I don't buy that. That's a cop-out. You know, I reared my children. Well, I raised my children. White man didn't tell me, well, you got to leave your home. No, white man wasn't in my business. See, that's something that people in general have to get past. Reverend Dockery, did the white man tell you to leave your home? Did he? Did the white man run you out of your home?
Reared
your children, caring for your wife?
No,
see,
he hasn't.
See, this is something
who are you directing the question against, though? I mean, it's got to be a two-sided conversation.
Brown, I want you to respond to him and let him finish his thought. Then we're going to come right to you.
I'm sorry.
No, let him go ahead.
That's okay. Let him finish his thought, and then we'll come right to you. Go ahead, sir. Finish your
thought. No, you're right. Respect is first. Respect is first.
Go ahead. All right. Go ahead, 1098. Finish your thought.
No, let him go ahead. He wanted to come in. I don't want him to lose his train of thought, and then I'll come back in, but he don't mind.
Okay.
I can't lose my train of thought because this is genuine to me. We're not the same. Maybe a white man where you are in your life at the time that you are in your life
can't
remove you from your home. Okay. I understand that. I own my own home. I happen to be sitting in it.
Can't turn your phone up. We can hardly understand.
Hello?
Hey, they can't hear you too clearly, Brown. Can you pull your phone a little bit away from you so they can hear your voice? It's kind of muffled.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
hello?
That's better.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
All right. I don't mean it. All right. Let me get
that's
this.
That's okay. All right.
I understand exactly what he's saying. They shouldn't be able to do that, but in some instances, some people's life were not the same. They do. I mean, so thank God that they weren't able to prevail if they were to try against you. So that's your situation. That's not my situation. My situation happens with obstacles. We're not the same. We don't think the same. Probably wasn't born in the same year, I'm sure. So this is the thing. They run programs based off of when you were born, based off who you are, based off your work experience, based off your prior film, based off being black because it's a systematic failure. Whether you agree or not doesn't change what it is for me when I step outside of my door. I got a home that I'm fighting for now. Can you help me? Would you help me, or would you tell me that a white man can't do this to you if you were in my situation, but you don't know my situation?
Right.
Okay,
and
what is your situation?
Explain
your situation.
No, but my situation is just that I'm.
I'm not divulging any personal business.
I'm just saying that under what we're going through. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut y'all off.
No, no, no. That's okay.
But it's personal. It's personal.
Well,
okay,
we don't want. I don't. Give me 1 second.
Sorry,
okay. Let me just kind of explain. In our dialogue, it's not necessary that anybody share their personal information.
Right.
Business. No more than you deem necessary. But in general,
right.
Brother Brown, in general, see, I've been your age before. Pastor Wallace been your age before. And 1098,
right.
Outcast, in your age before, and we've been black men in America. And guess what we had to do? We've had to survive and overcome challenges.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going
right.
through is nothing new about it. It's about how
that
you
was my next point too.
And deal with it, see? And so, and I think if you listen to what Outcast is saying, his premise seems to be that when you control your life economically,
right.
Socially, and politically, no white man
exactly.
or purple man have a right to come into your affairs and control them. You're saying that there are other variable circumstances. Let me let you have the floor.
No, but listen,
go ahead.
I just want to give you one more thing. I'm sorry, not to
okay.
cut you short, not to cut
no,
him short, but to add on to what you were saying is exactly what I was going to get to. It was that, yeah, I was facing that situation. And I'm still facing that situation, but it's how I respond to that situation. There's
okay.
bylaws for laws. You can respond in a positive way, and you can handle even though you're going through this. It doesn't. I mean, I ain't gonna say it doesn't matter because it very so matters to somebody who's going through this and don't know how to respond to this thing because he wasn't taught this or there's nobody there for him to go through. The system is built for you not to know because. I mean, it is. It just is. There wasn't no resource for me. I had to find this research out. They told me to get a lawyer. In the meantime, I'm facing foreclosure. What do I do about this as a man who's undereducated but could have been educated had it been for me, had it not been based off of the things that I was going through, the stigma I was going through, and the things that my father wasn't there to teach me?
I see.
So it's not the same. He's there for his kids, but who's there for the kids that's not having a father there for them?
Now, that's
yeah,
interesting you say that. Go ahead, 1098. What were we going to say?
What if the book of James said God would put no more on you than you can bear? You know, you fall,
right.
you pick yourself up, and you keep it moving. You dust yourself off and you keep it moving. You know, no one said that life was going to be perfect. You're going to
mm-hmm.
have ups and downs. But that does not mean
that's
that
true.
You give up. No, you trust in the Lord
right.
and you keep moving. You can't dwell on that. You know,
right.
us, everyone on this phone has gained something and we've lost something. You know, whatever
yes,
I gain,
right.
I appreciate. Whatever I lose,
yes. right.
I if it's worth me getting back, I try to get it back or I set my
You can actually gain from your
else.
Losses. You
it's
can gain the knowledge
better.
You're not losing.
You know. But see, like at the end of the day, this is life. You know, we're going
to
have ups and downs. You know, this is just the way that this go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
and I'll just hold there.
Right.
You know, let,
if, you know, I don't mind sharing this. All right, I don't mind sharing this part of my experience because I think it may help somebody. Before I do that, we have some people on Facebook Live. And Brother Richardson has said, we have to govern our own, it looks like he's saying affairs, such as separating the wheat from the tares, and the Lord guiding us to do that, he says. And so what I'm hearing him say is, we do have to do some things for ourselves. Now, but here's, consider this, Brother Richardson and Outcast. I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm gonna defend Brother Brown here just for a second. All right?
Okay. Go ahead.
Now,
go ahead.
But before I do that, Brother Brown, consider this. When
okay.
I was 14, a little boy wound up dead after I was with a group of guys that got into a little squabble on the streets, right? And so the police came
okay.
up to our school looking for us. And we had the no snitch rule on the street. Brother Brown. And so wasn't nobody going to tell. So the police officer looked at me, and he made a prediction. He made a prophecy. He, in no nice terms, I'm not, I won't tell you what he said, but he told me, you won't live to see 16 years old. That that had a terrible effect on me, man. And to this day, I wish I can slap my doctoral degree and every other degree I got in this faith to tell them, you don't determine my end.
Shut your
mouth.
Now,
actually this was a do. Man, but the thing about it
Lewis,
is he
a
around?
Man that told me this.
Wow.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
But what did in turn it do, though? What did you do?
Well, he pissed me off. Excuse me. I'm sorry. He made me mad, Lewis. He made me mad, Lewis.
He did.
And I was just,
what he did,
Lewis,
was,
I was
motivation.
Hey, look, I was determined that he was going to be a lie.
You turn his hate into love. You turn what he saw in you were what he saw in himself, but he was too weak to stand up to it. The truth is,
now,
you were the man that he saw. He saw that in him. Even as a black man, for him to deter a young black man and tell him that you won't be and what you will be and make a prophecy of your life without being God, with the hand of God by his side, look how you turned out. Now you can smack those doctrines in his face. Now you can stand up. We are on a national radio show right now, and you connecting the world with itself. You telling one generation how another generation feels about this generation that we're living in. And that's the thing about it now. Who really turned out to be the prophecy?
Wow.
Is it the misfit?
I don't know where he is. I don't even know if he's alive
yet. Education.
I don't know if he's alive yet.
Exactly.
But my
and that's
point
why.
Is,
but the story is alive. So you just brung him back to life.
Yeah, well, what
again.
I'm saying.
That guy is
this. Here's where I was going with that, Luke. Here's where I was going.
I'm sorry.
I'm getting at the point that. While I had a close connection with my dad and I knew how to reach him and call him and everything, he wasn't under the same roof with me at the time. And I wouldn't have been out there running with them cats with another mama crying over the loss of her child had he been there.
Right.
You understand what
I'm
saying? Now, I'm not going to get into the circumstances why he wasn't there, but the truth is he wasn't there, and I was lost as a young man. Now, here's the point you were making.
Exactly.
There are valuable lessons that young cats today haven't learned because of the breakdown in the family and fatherlessness.
Man,
we can
talk
about why they weren't there.
That's exactly it.
We can talk about why they weren't and that sort of thing. But the truth of the matter is they wasn't there. And these young cats are hurting today. And all they know.
Because of that.
All they know to turn to resolve their issues and their conflicts is violence. It used to be a time, Pastor Wallen, you get in a beef with a cat, Don is joining us from Selma, Alabama. You get in a beef with a cat, y'all go toe-to-toe, man, go a few rounds. Whoever got their tail whooped, they went and sat down somewhere. And you
That was in my growing up. That was in the 90s.
Well, I mean,
that happened in the 90s.
Let's y'all just grab
a know what happened. It's a disconnect between us. And it's not it's not even so much as violence as it is male chauvinism. What we were taught was violence. That's what the video games were. That's what the TV shows were. That's what the movies were. That was everything that taught a young boy how to be a man was without a male figure around.
Wow.
Everybody that hung out in the projects with gangsters, they all had guns. They all shot every night. I used to go to sleep in the Harrison homes in Peoria, Illinois to gunshots. I slept comfortably. I didn't worry about getting hit because the people who got shot were the people who did wrong back then. That's unfortunate, but it's the truth. People used to fight. Kids fought. Kids ate first, and they went to sleep. And, I mean, it was scary, but it's even more scary now that 14-year-old kids are doing the killing, and nobody cares. They go to jail like adults. They get out like adults, and they don't teach their kids to be adults because nobody knows how to be adults. We know how to be systematic. We know how to be dependent.
Okay.
So
where's
the
future?
You know
what?
Where's the future in dependency? There's no future. Independency is the goal.
Okay. Give me a second, Lewis. I don't want to be rude to our other callers that's on.
No, I'm sorry, sir. I don't mean to be rude neither.
That's okay. She's been very patiently listening. I know that's mom's, and mom is going to listen.
Right.
She's going to make sure neither I or Pastor Waller or Outkast leave
I'm probably
wrong.
Getting beat up
if
later.
If she do,
I'm getting beat up later, probably.
No, you all right, brother. You're doing, hey, we appreciate
you.
That's why we
beat
want
up.
You on here. No, yeah.
I appreciate y'all.
And we also have
all the listeners, too.
We also have Brother
Don Bevel
L. All right, hold on one second. We also have Brother Don Bevel L out of Selma, Alabama. How you doing, Don? How you doing, man?
And what you were talking about, Mr. Dockery, it is sad. It is a sad.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't raised in the house with my father. My father was Dr. King's strategist. I wasn't raised in the house with him. I was raised by my granddaddy and my uncle. And Mr. Dockery, you know, Uncle Ed fell. He fell in the kitchen the other day, and Loretta found him. He's over at St. Thomas. But I'm going to say this to the young guys. How in the world do y'all watch TV and think that that's what the Italian mafia do? The Italian mafia don't. They did that in the 20s, but they don't do that now. They in the real estate and building. You watching movies and you trying to imitate the movie.
I think it's
okay. And they also
do
in the racketeering. They in
no,
the racketeering.
No, they billing.
They in the lying. They in your legal process. They in your politicians. They also in your Jews. They in your ARADs. They in your Saudi oil. They in Texas. They in Tennessee. They where you at. They where I am. So it doesn't matter. It's not about the Italian mafia. The Italian mafia is not out here killing movies, the black guys that they used to refer to in the movie. They thought that the black guys were suckers because they would turn on their own brother for a dollar from them that was only worth 10 cents on their dollar. So don't refer to the Italian mafia. Where were the generation ahead 30 years ago that should have led this generation into prosperity and not economic
but
balance.
The generation
don't come at me as if we wrong because the Italian mob.
Well, the generation today, to me, you don't want to learn.
Lewis is a part of this fifth generation of mystification, and he's explaining to us why young cats are where they are. And he's telling us that there are some people like him who want to rise above that, man. But it's the generation that
you
see them, Don. We failed. Listen to me, Don. We failed them. We failed them, man, because we did not take care of our business. We brought them in the world. I'm speaking collectively now. We brought them in the world, but we didn't handle our business and help their mamas to keep them secure and to give them the edge up like the mafia do their children. Never mind the mob. What do we do in our house raising our children? That's what he's trying to say right now.
Exactly.
Mr. Dockery.
Exactly, because this is not about no Italian. No Italian.
Now I'm going to be honest with him. I'm going to be honest with him. I had a revelation. That's how I found my dad. I got to fussing with a young lady over in Seattle, Washington. And I had a dream in jail. And I went and found my dad. And I went and spent time with my dad. What I was fussing with that young lady about is what Dr. King got killed about.
Okay.
So if you're looking, the Lord's right there. I don't see why they saying God ain't there. If you yell out
hey,
in the
hold
earth,
on, hold
Lord,
on, hold on, hold on,
up.
Slow down. Hey, what did Martin Luther King get killed for?
A woman?
What were you fussing with that young girl about?
A woman?
Is this fact?
We don't know that. Hold on one second. That would be a whole nother show to try to prove or disprove that.
Right.
We're not even talking about Dr. King right now.
Okay.
Okay? I ain't going to go down that rabbit hole.
No.
Let me
still here.
All right, hold on one second. Let me go to 8112. Right. We've been talking over this. Ain't with all that. Go ahead, 8112.
Oh, wow, y'all tripping. I understand and I respect the fact that Father's Day is coming up. Everyone has a voice.
Yes.
It is up to one another to either hear what they're saying or not hear what you're saying.
Okay.
We pick
and
choose our paths. Sometimes our paths dictate things to us we don't want to accept. However, my point is, I appreciate the goodness that there's still some people out there, all you guys out there that's on this show listening or Facebooking in, because
right.
there's still some of us still concerned and very concerned. How my grandchild going to grow up? How my
that's
son
right.
going to finish growing up, even if he's grown? Because there's a
that's
lot
right.
of being 30-something and under and over. Some people, and I know I have well-educated sons because that's what I taught them to be. I may not be book-wise, but my point to you guys is this. I believe, it's my opinion, if you go back to most of your upbringing, I don't care if you just had your mama, if your mama was a strong woman, she taught you what you needed to know. She gave you the tools to work with, and whether you chose to do it or not is up to you. Is there some
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
May I say something right there?
Yes,
that,
sir.
You know, that's a critical point. Here's what happens, and I write about this in my manual on fatherhood development. There is a certain chronological and sociological period of development where 8112, boys have a tendency to shut down on female authority and their voice.
Yes, sir.
So you
yes.
could be trying to teach them right and tell them what they need to know, but something happens where they no longer are listening to you, and
yes,
they're just there. They'll go along to get along, but they
yes,
have
sir.
Another force of influence that guides the development of their character and their expression of self. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir, Pastor. And
can I chime in on that? Can I chime in
no,
on why
minute.
That is?
Hold on.
Wait a minute, honey, please.
Hold on one second.
I'm here, y'all. I'm listening.
I may say this
That's
real
right. Go
quickly.
Ahead.
I would say this.
Go ahead, 8112.
Why the conversation that you got, I shut up for a reason. And the reason was is because it is so important for you guys doing what you're doing, and I respect that by all means because you
okay.
can maybe reach out where I've tried to.
Right.
And I'm not a man, and I can't touch that man, so maybe the way that you will, because you're not going to break it down to, I'm your mama, and then mama get upset and everything. You're going to say, you a man just like I'm a man. Stand up to the plate. Do what you got to do to take care of your business. And it does matter, because young men and boys do listen to that male authority. That's why God, I believe, gave us a mother and a father, not two mamas, not two daddies.
Uh-oh.
You have one
right.
up each. Because your mother is that part that does what she does.
Right.
Your father
right.
is the one to teach you how to be a man. And it is hard for a woman to teach a young boy how to become a man because she's not a man.
Okay.
She don't.
Okay.
Got it all. She got what she got, the skills that she have. And
right.
she can show you things that try to protect you as
right.
a little cub.
Can
but
we yield to our guest now?
And it takes another man to bring him up to be that lion that roar.
Okay. All right. Let me defer to my guest now. Go ahead, Brother Brown. You were trying to say something.
Yeah, the thing, the disconnect happens at the stage where, like she said, a woman can't teach a man how to be a man. And it goes back to, oh, she taught you everything you need to get into the world as a woman because she's nurturing as a mother. That's what she wants to believe. But when it comes down to it, there's a whole nother side that this young man lacks and a whole nother 50% that he's missing in the element of his DNA, which is where did I come from? Even if you get him a stepdad, that's probably going to only make up 25% of what he needs. That's part of his genetic code. Same for a girl. If a girl grows up without her biological father, she's at least missing out on 25% of who she is and where she comes from. So there's no way that you can make up for that. That's disproportionate. So you're giving the 75%, which is what 3/4 of a human a chance in the world to fight against a world where he can't even understand himself, let alone a woman or a man. And then let's talk about the fact that you're throwing out here with people who don't even get that much. You're trying to defend yourself against young men who don't even get the comfort of a mother. young men who don't not only have a mother, don't have a father, they raised by the streets. And you have to defend as a boy with a mother and a sister, sisters to be pearl, and young brothers growing up underneath you. You got to be the man for them to make sure that the wolves don't make it to the den where the chickens at. What happens to the chickens if the wolves make it home? They get ate. That's why young men become warriors against an apartheid America.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Let me weigh in. Facebook got some things there. We got a couple of things there from Facebook. Please share. Let's see. I see we still haven't heard how we as black men and women can come together, for our children. What do you think about this? Well, hold on. Before you answer this, you got some more. For our children, such as teaching them survival skills, which is something the school system does not teach. What do you think about that, Pastor?
You know, I think everything we're talking about tonight is great, man. And I just want to, again, commend the young brother, you know, for what his heart design is, man. And what I got to say about this, when you come down to upbringing, most of the time, I would say most of the time, because I feel that it's in the family.
What?
Are
you speaking your phone, look, Pastor. Hey, Pastor, speaking your phone, look.
I hear something in the background, but what I'm saying, you go for what you know. That was the upbringing that I had, you know, with the parents, you know, just having one there and the other one not. I mean, I didn't look into no excuses or anything like that because I didn't know no better. I was just a little boy growing up. And then, you know, your mother do everything that she could do. And that is with or without the father for whatever the reason is. And still, you know, society has something that's already dressed up. It has a look. It has a sound. And if you get involved, you get the feel of it. And that's what causes young brothers and sisters to go for what they know. Now, that's not to say that one don't be brought up in a respectable manner. But the word of God says, and it's something that I didn't know anything about. It says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, that I was able to put away childish things. And so the reason why it's like that out in the real world is because what's attractive is what is placed before our young brothers and sisters, man. And so what we're looking for is information. We want the solution. We need the solution to the problem. There is a problem, but believe me, there is also a solution. So when we tap into the solution and start to apply it, the solution is to recognize that there is an enemy. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if we recognize that, we'll know how to handle it. But since we don't know, that's why he's doing what he's doing now. We don't know. Most of us don't know anything about the Bible and what it stands for. A lot of us attend church and we go and ask a traditional thing.
I totally agree with everything Pastor said. Can I chime in one time? I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful and cut you off.
No, come on, brother. You're all right.
I do want to make a point because you're saying everything the right way. But it is point to this. So just to recap, you know, like you were saying, because I just lost my train of thought, so I want to make sure that I'm saying the right thing. But it's like we definitely want to take care of each other. We're not trying to backlash on anything that you guys have said, or like as a young man, that's what I mean. Like I'm not trying to go against what God has said in the great book. That's the great book, not the good book. And we do live by that. And like you were saying, you know, your mom gives you so much and you go on your own path. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself. And most of it's going to be what the world throw at you, like anybody else. There's no excuse for you to go out there and just ensemble murder somebody or do this or do that, do drugs, do that. We all want to make the right choices, but we all want to survive with or without a dad.
Yeah, and change is possible. Change can take
place. Just as a man, you want to become an older man. So to go back to what the man was saying from the internet, how can we become? This is how we become. Having a conversation first, even on a broader scale. This is a national scale. People chime in. People throw in what they believe. And I mean, we're not perfect. Nobody's going to agree. We don't have to agree. But what we can do is share ideas. And maybe you might influence my idea of what a man should be.
Okay. Let me hear from Don in Selma, Alabama. Go ahead, Don.
I'm in the Morris Divine Nash movement. I got a problem with my brothers in the Masonic organizations.
Okay.
I really do. I'm in Tennessee. Oh, man. Ain't, Mr. Docker, is Nashville billing right now? Is they billing up on Nashville right now?
They are, yes.
See? They billing like crazy. And guess what? Down in Selma, they ain't billing, and I ain't getting none of that money. And guess what? I was born right there in Tennessee. And you know what? What pisses me off about them folk in Tennessee, so-called leadership, they know the state ran by the KKK.
Oh, wow.
They know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Them people and Nashville know that.
Go ahead. Hey, Don. Tell me.
Go ahead.
I hear your frustration, and you're an
thank you. I want to put Mr. Walker out of the pulpit. Go ahead.
Hold on, Don. Don.
Go ahead.
Don.
Go ahead, Mr. Walker. I'm listening.
Okay, listen.
You don't go right, because I want to get it. Because I know he gay.
All right, Don.
I want to get it, Mr. Walker. I ain't tell you no lie. Go ahead.
Hold on. Hold on. You fired up. I get it.
Richard said it's
wrong because I ain't getting no money.
Listen to me. Don,
I'm about ready to come to Nashville and get all of you.
Go ahead.
Okay, so as I was saying, this is about Brother Lewis, and we want to lay a table of understanding and opportunity for him. Okay? Because he expressed to us on this air, Pastor Waller, that there are some things that he struggled with as a young man in this generation.
Okay.
I think we owe it to him.
He deserves it.
I believe
he
we owe it to him
to
share our best knowledge and experience as to how he can deal with that. Okay? So
I want to get back. Go ahead, Doc.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Yeah. Soon as you get finished, I want to get back to him at some point with what I was sharing with him because I see the hunger and the thirst that he has.
Absolutely.
And I know he's much deserving of it. And once
Absolutely.
He get it, I believe he received what he can handle. And then
That's
that
right.
he can't, you know what I mean? He just had to stir up until he's able to deal with it. But right now, he's got something on his heart that is so heavy, and he's reaching out in such a way that I didn't get a chance to do that when I came up. I didn't have that opportunity to do that because the lane that I was in was so fast, I couldn't escape it because I was going down the hill so fast and there was nothing to hold on to. So I appreciate what he's reaching out to express concern and how to deal with the issues of life. So when you get finished, I'll come back in and share something with him, if you will.
No, go ahead. Let me just say to Brother Don, I appreciate your sentiment, but we definitely don't want to get off of our topic tonight, and that's how to manage challenges for young fathers in urban America. That's what we're talking about tonight. And we're focusing on not just Brother Lewis, but brothers like him. And I applaud him for having the tenacity to look past the hurt and the pain and to seek for answers and resolutions. Now, I got you, Brother Richard. Brother Richard has some things I'm going to share with him. We got a lot of people on the show tonight, and we appreciate him following us with the live stream post. I'm going to get right to you, Brother Richardson. Give me a minute. Let me let Pastor Waller respond back directly, though, to Brother Lewis here, then we'll come straight to your point there, Brother Richardson. All right, go ahead, Pastor Waller. Finish your thought there.
Okay, young brother, how old are you?
I'm 32.
32. I didn't become a man until I was 34.
Huh.
And I tell you, man, I praise God for you, man. I really do. And when I became a man and I was able to make decisions, I was able to choose, you know, things like that. And then also I had a chance to recall, you know, my partner was in prison during that time and had two life sentences. Yeah, you know, and he was doing two life sentences up in the penitentiary. And So I was still in the streets at that time. But when my life changed at the age of 34, you know, things got a little bit better, and he didn't ever think he was going to get out. To make a long story short, I went to his parole hearing. And this is why I want you to know the change can take place. Now, I'm a minister now when I went to his parole hearing. And so I knew that going to parole hearing don't mean nothing because I'm a minister. I'm still a black man. And
right.
then going to sit there and to know that my partner was going up. But the parole man, he didn't know nothing about me being in the streets or anything. He just knew I'm a minister. Probably thought I'd never been in anything in my life. But I first,
right.
before I said anything, I showed him some pictures of the guy that was in prison and myself. And
right.
he discovered
that.
That
to be.
Is that you? You know, and I said, yeah, that's me right there. That's both of us standing right there doing the things that we was doing. I said, anyway, I said, I'm the reason why he's in prison. And I said,
right.
I need some help out here. And I need some help out here. But what he was used to doing, he was used to turning down brothers. And so
right.
after my partner made the parole, after he changed his mind, because he wasn't going to let him go at first, he changed his mind.
Right.
And then my partner called me later on, 6 months later, and told me that man retired. You know what? That man didn't retire because he was tired. That man retired because he knew he had been treating blacks wrong for so long that he realized
for
change
so
is really possible. Now, here's a man that's a minister now, used to be on heroin, used to slaying all the drugs and things like that. So I'm saying change
Correct.
Is possible. And, brother, you can be one of the greatest examples for your generation to let them know the kind of hunger that you have and what you're striving to do, man. Just believe that you got the power to apply what it is that you're learning. And again, I tip my hat out to you because I didn't reach out like that until the pain got so severe, man. So just be encouraged and know change is possible, brother.
Wow,
yes,
man.
Sir.
I don't mean to cut you short, but everything you just said was inspirational to me and may be what I need to push forward and what I'm trying to do in my life, which is bring some hope. I'm not a bad person. Like I tell people every day, I sell hope, not dope. I rap in my part-time just to spread my word, but that's not what I'm here to do tonight. I'm not rapping to you. I'm not rapping to 8112 or anybody else. I'm talking genuinely from my heart because I do feel it's a disconnect, and with that connection, we can change things. And that's on any level.
Yes,
I mean, any change is better than no change at all.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Let me bring in comments from Brother Richardson here. He made a great point. He says, with all due respect, Pastor, God will meet us halfway with what our hearts desire, which is making our children entrepreneurs like he was. Wow. When God walked on the water, that should be enough to make not only the boys and girls grow up some, I think he's saying to some folks there. Now, what I'm getting from him is that there's an example for us, everyone. It's what I'm getting from his post, that there's an example for us of how we can use our greatest strengths to overcome our weaknesses. Now, I think I heard somebody say it earlier, that nobody told us that the road was going to be easy, you know. But guess what? We still have to maintain ourselves. Still have to maintain
right.
ourselves.
Yes,
last thing is, Brother Richardson said, he asked me to let you know that God has something in store for you, but what our biggest fear is, the thing is, you have to go through it, or the things that we have to go through. That's our greatest fear, which is I think that's a reasonable point that oftentimes the challenge that face us, it's easy for us to be intimidated. Now, let me say this. Eric Erickson wrote about eight stages of development of a child. Now, not that it should matter, but he was a European. But I think there's some to what he was saying, and he suggests 8112, that in the first stage of social development, trust had to be built between a child and their primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's distrust that stays with them all throughout life as they grow up and they go through challenges. When you can learn to trust that there is hope, even when people are, Pastor, are throwing dots against you and they're setting snaps and snares for you, when you trust,
yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir. That's
when
right.
You trust. Now, I didn't come to preach, but I'm feeling my help right here. The text says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence
right.
of things not seen. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Paul? In
believe.
But hey, believe got
look,
a lie
Lord.
In the middle.
Watch this
believe
now.
Got
watch
a lie
Lord.
In the
watch
middle.
Look, Lord, everything we went through, that's the stuff that make or break us. And if we can hold out,
right.
if we can hold
Hello.
Out, there's something we're going to learn from.
Hold
that's
on,
the biggest about
the way.
Huh?
I totally
well,
understand
that.
That. That's substance of character. That's called substance of character. But to believe, you got to understand there's a lie in the middle of belief, even the way it's spelled. But you have to be. You have to have faith. You got to have faith. I have to have faith in myself to wake up and get up and deal with my challenges to even be sitting here tonight. So it's
you
not that we're unfaithful.
You have faith in
it's not
Lord.
It's not that we're not unfaithful. It's faith in God overall. God going to provide. But we all got to come together and do our part. We all have a part. We got to play our role.
Sure.
My role tonight is speaking for somebody that normally wouldn't have a voice, which is someone my age. This could have been
Absolutely.
A cutoff point where everybody from y'all generation chiming in on why y'all kids bad or not good, but y'all included me. And I thank every one of y'all for that, for giving me an outlet to express myself. I can do it through
thank
rap, but what
you.
Does rap consist of? A bunch of violence. Not nurture, it's not love, it's not. If I make a song about nurture and love, they assume me to be gay, which I love everything about a woman, a few things about a man, but I love a man's heart. If you have soul, if you have depth, if you have character, I love that about you. And if you can't
okay.
carry that through your life, I can't respect it.
Okay, okay, all right. Let me share with, I'm done, I'm going to come right back to you, brother. You fired up. I'm coming right back to you. Try it again. Brother Richardson says he talked about the black family and the father being teachers, and it looks like he's saying that there's a role with the father and the preacher or teachers, basically, in our lives. But I think you made that point. You echoed that, Lewis. That there's an opportunity for generations to bridge themselves together and for
right.
shared knowledge to be a vessel that will carry us across troubled waters. Now, we're in the
exactly.
water. Some of us can't swim.
Not one father, every
shared,
father. Every father. Bridge
yes,
the gap.
Sir.
It's every father. It's not one father. Don't put it on just this man. Put it on
no,
all
no.
men. I applaud you if you were there and you were able to do that for your kids. Reach out and grab somebody's kid who didn't have that. Then you're doing
okay.
something real big because you're reaching out when you didn't have to.
Right, right.
And that's
okay.
what matters.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said. Well said. Well said. Let me pause for a minute and get my brother Don here. He's been hanging in there. Don, you all right, man?
Yes, sir.
But Mr. Dockery, I heard the young man when he brought up the gay right thing. Now, that's my dad's student, Jesse Jackson, that put that on the floor. See? But if, like he said, like the young man said, if you don't experience me as father, and I'm going to say this to the young man, how I learned how to drive a tractor was from my mama's oldest brother.
Okay.
Right.
See? How I learned how to drive tractor trailer trucks was from Uncle Ed.
Okay.
You're
right.
We
okay.
all got to be fathers.
Right.
Right. We
I
all
agree
gotta
with that.
Play a part. And I'm sure you appreciate that, and I'm sure your Uncle Ed would appreciate what you just said tonight, because what you're doing is you're keeping his legacy going. He taught you
wow.
a trade. That's something you're farming. You're tilling the land. You are able to produce as a man because of your Uncle Ed. He didn't make an excuse and say, well, that's not my job. That's my nephew. He got a dad somewhere in the world. I didn't make him. Your Uncle Ed didn't make that excuse. What he did was he found a solution. He taught you to till that land, and then now you know how to drive tractors. You can go and do that as a profession to feed your family. That's a great thing. That's what I want to get at my nephew, a way out of being stuck, even without a father, Either you got your father. Even if he has his father. His father teach him one thing, his uncle can teach him another thing. Now he multi-talented.
Okay. So that's the point you're making is the role of the surrogate father as it's called. And that's someone that steps in. In biblical times, if a man died.
Right.
Yeah. Hold on one second. In biblical times, if a man died, his brother or the father of his mother or other family member stepped in and assumed that role as a surrogate father. And so within the urban experience, one of the ways to manage the challenge is that we share, Lewis, our stories, our experiences, and that we be prepared to look out for a brother. Back in the day, man, they used to say all the time, Outcast, man, I take a bullet for you, brother, and I'll be the godfather of your children. It's very rare that you hear people say that now, you know?
That's right.
And the OJs had that song, "Don't call me brother unless you really mean it."
Right. That sounds like something that's within me that I don't hear.
Right.
Like, that sounds like what it should be, and it's not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, go ahead, let Outcast
speak. Like,
what were you saying? One second, Lewis. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Outcast. What were you about to say?
Nothing really. You know, I listen concerning the father and things of that nature. You know, me, I'm a grown man. I tell the truth and shame the devil. I appreciate my father for staying out of my mother's life, not interfering with her life. Yeah. And I appreciate my father. He's dead and gone now. I appreciate him for turning me into the type man that I am. Even though he never did anything for me, through him, I learned to stand by mine and take care of mine. See, there are good and bad things that come out of situations. You know, even though I was getting myself in trouble, understand this, even if he was there, I would have been getting in trouble because that's what I was about. That's what I gravitated to. That's what I love, you know. And there wasn't no stopping me, you know. I went to juvenile. My mother had me locked in the juvenile court numerous times. But the thing is this. When it comes to the teaching, I taught myself a lot of things. A tractor, I learned how to drive a tractor in the penitentiary. I got up on it and I read it. That you know what I'm saying? The instructions was on the stick, and I drove it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Through education and things in the nature of a lot of stuff, I taught myself. But the thing is this. I didn't cry because my father wasn't there. Again, he taught me and brought me up to be the type of man that I was towards my children. I didn't leave them. I didn't abandon them. You know, so I don't use the total excuse of my father not being around. Like I say, I appreciate him for not being there because you had a lot of fathers in the house. You'd raping the daughter, beating the wives, and every doggone thing. You know, sometimes it's best to separate. Sometimes it's best to separate.
Well, you know what
I'll hold up. Yes, sir.
There's a distinction between a pair of britches in your house and a father. A man and a father. Don't let me go back to the apple tree and that peach tree now.
I'll go ahead on.
It's easy to run up on a pair of britches than it is a man these days, unfortunately.
I agree.
That's a whole other show.
You know, at the end of the day, Reverend Dockery, you know, my destiny was in my hand. A white man couldn't stop me. A system couldn't stop me. The only thing that could stop me was me. And talking about we, I don't say we. It's not about we. It's about me trying to get ahead. If I get ahead, I can help June, Boopo, and the rest of them get ahead.
But it's
a poor excuse when we holler we.
Wow. Okay.
But it is we. It is a we, though.
What I mean by we is this right here. I couldn't focus on what everyone else was out there doing. I had to focus on what I was doing and what was best for me. See, this is when we lose sight.
I definitely understand
when we start talking about white man ain't done nothing to me. You know what I'm saying?
You
got to
start with
the
eye. You
got to
start with the eye.
Okay.
I hear that. I respect that.
Let me share what Brother Richardson said. He says, he apologized for not hearing And he goes on to say, the gap is in our black churches. And he suggests that they're bringing in $40,000 a year sometimes, and they need to come to the business end that the state start requiring churches, watch this, Pastor Wallace, to donate some of the funds to black businesses that are created with the church. Then he goes on to say, let's keep the money in the real God's house instead of the government's. Wow. What about that, Pastor Wallace?
I agree.
Yeah, they got
something
to say.
Come on, Pastor, what do you say, Pastor?
Yeah, they got something to say right there. It make a lot of sense. It make a lot of sense, man. I thank God, you know, he and I can say something a little earlier about the system couldn't stop him from doing it, and his parents weren't going to stop him from doing it because his mind was made up to become what he became. And I like that because that's the power of the system out in the real world. See, the real world is attracted to certain people, man. That I just left out of the house just a minute ago. I just left out of the house, man. And the lady seen me. She stopped me. She said, I've been looking for you. And she said, well, you know, and then got around to what she wanted to say to me about her son. Same thing we're talking about right now. He's a young boy, just come out of high school. Then when he got in trouble, she done the best she could bringing him up and everything. He wanted to, I seen him maybe a year and a half ago. He wanted to leave out of the house, not come back at a certain time. So his mother was going through a thing with him. Now, all of a sudden, she just told me he got caught with a pistol and X amount of grams of marijuana or something like that. But anyway, just the thought of that and how hard we have to continue to fight and do something with the funds that they're getting in them churches to take it out there to give it to people who are doing something out there to make a difference. That does make sense, man, because to accumulate all this money up into the church for what? To just talk about who brought tithes and offerings in there. What is that for? What is it for? I thought it was for the mission, you know, to do the work out there because there are some people that's doing the work. And if I seen so many guys just a few minutes ago, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to turn it back over to you, young brother.
Hold on 1 second.
I seen so many young brothers when I was going down the street, man. I mean, I saw maybe 7 or 8 young brothers, and the energy that them young brothers had, man, it's like trouble is all on them, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault. I mean, it's the power of what's attractive to them today, and if we don't do anything by stepping out into the real world and present something different to them, then those generations will continue to flow like that. Right. So, again, the young brothers
are
on top of it, man. Yes,
well, hold on 1 second, Louis.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Louis.
You good.
Go ahead, Louis.
You good.
I'm saying the thing about that is negativity, it's like your two poles, you know what I mean? Your magnetic poles is what I mean by that. Same with your political poles. Negativity will attract negativity, positive and the negative, positivity will rule out, you know what I mean, over negativity. So think about it like this. So if we put money into the church every week, but the church still never gets a new doorknob. The church never pays light bill, whatever. We always need to put money into the church. The community's not getting nothing out of the church. All right, little homie there down the street, them and their illegal transportation, them and their illegal drug sales, them and their illegal stuff. You got to imagine, a little kid is watching two sides of this. You know what I mean? Like, okay, mama don't have money for food today, but she keep putting money into the church. The pastor man driving in a brand new Benz. But little homie man, they got the brand new car on the rims doing all the negative stuff. They got all the negative things. We know they all going to prison, but they're making it look good. The flash and the glam. The little kid is watching both sides of that. Which side do you think he's going to be held to? Little homie man ain't got to deal with the church and none of that to get what they want. Mama ain't getting nothing out the church, but she putting all her money into it. The pastor, the only one who eating. He in the Benz, they look good. They clean, they protect, they family straight. But the community, which is the little kid that's watching little homie them and the pastor on both sides, he's standing in the middle, and he confused.
Okay.
I want to do the right thing. But my mama, she giving all the money to pass, not all the money to pass in there. She paying her bills. She got her habits on the side, her boyfriend and all them. But we dependent on the church to give us the knowledge. to rise above, right, little homie there for the kids.
I get you. Your point is well taken. We got 10 minutes here. Man. Pastor, start getting good
going
now.
Fast, huh?
Oh, man. Boy, okay. I hate to put it to a halt, but we have to kind of wrap it up here. Louis, you got to come back, man.
I got you, man. Let me know.
You got to come back.
Yeah, I will. Anytime.
Let me kind of wrap it down like this. I want to be clear that we are not, I'm not intending, as the host of this show, to give the church a black eye. Having said that,
right,
there are things that many congregations could and should do, as Brother Richardson said, to utilize their resources in a way that will transform in a positive way the lives of many folk in the neighborhoods that these churches exist. Now, maybe we need to get together. I'm not sure exactly. Some need to happen, but a lot of money is going through there. And most churches are untaxed. I know that because I've been a pastor one for over 20 years, and they're untaxed. And you can't tell them what to do, but some kind of way we got to reach out to them, Louis, in a way that they understand they can play a major role. And there are churches that are doing great things. I will say that. And we don't have time really again. I'm going to have to bring Brother Richardson on. He's throwing up some stuff here on this Facebook thing. Man, that's a whole other show,
God
Louis.
God bless you, Brother
Louis. Brother Richard, I'm going to have to bring you on as a guest, man, because you're raising some great points. And, wow. Okay, let's stay with where we are, how to manage challenges for a young father. We got to get out of here today. 8112.
Huh?
Yeah, man, 8112.
Yes, sir.
Give me a final thought before we get out of here. You've been patient, and you've been listening. I appreciate your spirit, too, tonight. I appreciate you realizing and yielding to the voice of influence for these brothers that are online tonight. I appreciate you doing that. That shows the quality in the lady, that's all. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me shut up. Let me be quiet.
They'll get you. But thank you so much. Just the same.
Don't bless.
I was sitting here, and I'm listening attentively.
Okay.
I am respecting everything that everyone is saying because I'm getting knowledge from it.
Okay.
And there's a come a time where we got to talk and a time where we got to listen. Tonight was my time to listen.
I hear you.
And God bless all of you guys for working so hard, because without communication, you don't have understanding.
Wow.
They work hand in hand. And that's
wow.
all I have to leave you with that thought.
All right. Well, you just dropped the bomb on me, baby. We appreciate that.
Thank all y'all. I appreciate it.
Oh, don't go nowhere, Louis. We're going to give you the flow for a minute because we want you to give us a final, leave a final thought. Go ahead, Louis. Go ahead and do that. Give us your final thought for tonight, man.
Man, it's a blessing. It's been truly a blessing just to even sit here and take in all this knowledge and information I was given, because it's not one-sided. It definitely comes from somewhere. And my final thought would be that in time we will find peace if we work together. And I thank y'all for giving me an outlet to vent to and be heard by male characters. So thank you for that.
God bless you, brother, for being here. And I'm gonna call you again. We're going to have to get you back here because I got another topic.
Mm-hmm.
You and Brother Richard, y'all going to bounce off one another on this one. But we appreciate you.
Man.
We appreciate you.
Been wonderful.
All right,
thank
Outcast,
you.
Go ahead and give us another thought there.
Well, you know, my thought is this. You have to focus on yourself. You have to put a whole lot of stuff aside and focus on yourself and get where you need to be. I mean, this is you know, educational wise and things of that nature, you know, which, as we know, knowledge is power. You know, you have to dismiss a lot of stuff in order to get from point A to point B. And it wasn't about we, it was about me getting to where I needed to be. And then when I got to where I needed to be, I could reach back and help someone else. And I'll hold right there. Now, thank you, Pastor Wall. I'm thank everybody. You know, I've enjoyed it.
God bless you.
God.
Let me just write quickly. Angela is on Facebook, and she was just saying that as a woman, she appreciates brethren being able to sit in on the conversation. Oftentimes, I notice that it's hard for men of different generations to have a productive conversation simply because they don't respect each other's perspective, she says. But I'm going to summarize it up by saying that she's grateful that we were able to touch and agree and the dialogue, and we do come from different perspectives. So thank you, Angela. And as well as Brother Donald said, his final thought is we are pieces of a puzzle, and God will, wow, put us together as we play our part. Let me go to Don and Selma. Don, give us a final thought before we get out of here.
I like to thank the young man that was saying that the movement was hijacked, because that's exactly what happened. It was hijacked. And the next issue is economic development. And
okay.
It was hijacked, and we got to stay focused. And that's all. Yes. We stay in prayer, stay in focus.
Don, I appreciate you. You got fired up on me. I appreciate you being on air with us tonight, man.
Yeah, the ones in Nashville told me they're doing some work up there pouring concrete, and Selma ain't got no money down here. Y'all got the money up there in Nashville.
Hey, you're right. That's a whole nother show, though. That's a whole nother show, man. But hey, we appreciate you joining in with us, brother. We're going to turn over to Pastor Waller, let him give us a final wrap us up here. And want y'all to join us on this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode there. But we're not out yet. Pastor Waller, go ahead, sir.
Praise God for you, everybody who had a chance to talk. And 8112, we praise God for you allowing us to utilize your son tonight and to just assemble together, because there's power in togetherness. You know, the word of God does says wisdom is the principal thing. You should therefore get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. And when we have the understanding of what can be done, then we're on the right track. And so it says, encouraging things to me, as Outkast said, you know, in order for me to help someone else, I had to first get help for myself. And then I could go out and reach out to help someone else. So that's what the young brother was able to do tonight, get something that will benefit him, and then he can go share with his friends and everything. And so we just believe God for what took place tonight, that it would be effective for those who was able to say something and those who were listening in. And we just praise God for the assembling of ourselves together. And I want you to know that God got the rest already lined up for us. Amen.
I believe that'll preach right there, Brother Pastor.
Watch out.
All right. www.bfcinstitute.com. That's our website. Please check us out and find out what we're doing. As I mentioned to you, because we're engaged in a political campaign now, we're kind of scaling back some of our travel schedule. But if you want us to come, let us know. We'll fit it in. We'll make it possible to your area. Look on the website, figure out how to do that, and there's some information there on our traveling lecture series. This is Building Families and Communities Institute that sponsors this show, Talk Straight. We appreciate you, and we're going to be back Thursday night. I'm going to call Brother Richardson. We're going to get him on there. He's been dropping some bombs on us tonight, and he's throwing a brick, and he ain't hiding, though, but he's standing with us.
Yes.
Yep. But we appreciate him, and we'll be back on Thursday night with another episode here of Talk Straight.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it, and splinters, and boards torn up, and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on, and reaching ladders, and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark, where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.